Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Sunday morning. As usual on a Sunday morning, we have the panel discussions, and alhamdulillah, these discussions bring about very robust, very interesting and very informative discussions by which alhamdulillah we learn a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this program as well a means of benefit, a means in which we can increase our knowledge about different aspects regarding Islam, and a means by which we can practice and gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This week we will be looking at a very, very important topic in the life of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commandments that govern our lives in this world. The sunnah, the mubarak teachings of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there to help us carry out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a manner in which we should be carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts everything, every good action that we do. So this week we are going to take a look at the attire of a Muslim, the dress code of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has addressed this issue. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى, the dressing that we should be having, the dressing particular for a Muslim. And in Islam, when we look at the beautiful religion of Islam, we find that every aspect of ours, every part of our religion, not just, you know, Islam, Islam is not just a religion for a Muslim, but Islam is an entire way of life. And the dressing of a person has been explained to us by the Sharia, and it has been shown to us by Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as Muslims, like how we have our own way of eating, our own halal, etc., when it comes to our dressing, when it comes to our, like in our salah, in our prayer, we have our own mode, our own form of praying. When it comes to dressing as well, we have our own form, our own beautiful and unique form of dressing that is full of modesty, that is full of covering the body. So there's constant bombardment by the media as to how a lady should look, as how a lady should dress. And when you find dressing, then specific attention is given to the female's dressing. So when we look outside into the world, we find that generally women are exploited, the female sexuality is openly used in advertising, and this is mainly to attract the desires of men, and you know, therefore they sell this as a product. The dressing of a woman, the modesty of a woman becomes a commodity, and it is sold in the world out there. When we look at the religion of Islam, then Islam has liberated women over 1400 years ago and granted them true dignity and honor. So this week, alhamdulillah, we are going to take a look at the dressing of a Muslim, being it as they regard this month, the month of August, as Women's Month. For us in Islam, there isn't just any particular month that we should be addressing the issues of women, but Islam has given a woman a very unique position in society. So to discuss this entire topic, looking at the dressing of a woman, we have with us Maulana Ahmed Akko from Peter Maritzburg. We'd like to welcome Maulana onto the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Maulana, and we welcome the listeners of Radio Islam as well.
Maulana, how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, all well by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we hope all is well on your side as well, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, through the du'as of yourself and the mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything going well. And we would like to thank you for your time availing this, making this time available for us, and hopefully we can all benefit.
Inshallah, we hope it's a means of benefit for myself as well and for the Ummah.
So this, to begin this discussion, Maulana, this week we thought that we'll start off the discussion looking at some general aspects when it comes to dressing. So, you know, what impact does people's dressing have on their mindset?
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we acknowledge every single bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and amongst all the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us as insan with, dressing is also a ni'mah, a bounty and a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The clothes that which we don is a favor from Allah. And what impact does stressing have on our mindsets as individuals, as human beings. This is something very simple for us to understand. Whatever type of clothing we choose to wear and put on our bodies automatically or immediately has an impact on our mindset and our frame of mind as human beings. And I think the simplest example for us to understand, if a person has to wear, for example, a track pants and don a pair of tackies and put a t-shirt on, automatically you feel that sense of being energetic, and you would be in the mood or the mode to exercise yourself and your body just simply by the clothing that you put on. Automatically you have that type of frame of mind. Similarly, if we have to put on more formal clothing, then the sense of exercising won't be the first thing in your mind because of the type of clothing that you've worn. So definitely any type of dressing that's put on a human being automatically and immediately has an impact on the frame of mind of us, not only our frame of mind, but also the onlooker. When we look at the person dressed in a certain manner, we also have some sort of perception that comes in our mind regarding that individual. Another example, if we have to see an individual that's wearing a white coat and has something hanging over their neck, automatically you won't be faulted for thinking in your mind that this perhaps could be a doctor, because that's the type of clothing that that person has something to do with the medical fraternity. In a similar manner, if the clothing of the police force is on an individual and you look at that person, you won't be mistaken by the frame of mind that comes to you that this is perhaps a law and an official of the law enforcement simply by what you've seen. So clothing not only has an effect on our frame of mind, but also the onlooker has a certain perception just by that which they have viewed in terms of the dressing of the other individual. So whatever type of clothing we wear has an effect on our frame of mind, has an effect on our hearts, and definitely also has an effect on our souls.
JazakAllah, Mawlana, that makes it very interesting. Mawlana, now to speak on a broader sense, you know, does the Islamic dress code, does it differ from other dress codes, probably other cultures, other religions?
Okay, if we have to analyze the Islamic dress code as compared to other dress codes that are out there in the world, the salient features that are found in the dressing of a Muslim or the dress code of Islam is, number one, it denotes loud and clear modesty, what is termed as haya in the Arabic language. That is what comes first and foremost from the Islamic code of dressing and the dress code of a Muslim. It spells out modesty loud and clear for the entire world, as opposed to the other modes of dressing that are perhaps found in the world. And when we look in the Quran in verse number 26 of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights firstly clothing being a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah says that Ya Bani Adam, O the children of Adam, Qad anzalna alaykum libasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have sent down clothing for you, O insan. Allah counts this as his favors, like how Allah counts the rain as a favor from him to insan, like Allah counts our food as a favor from him. Everything is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also counts dressing as his favor, that Allah has sent down clothing for you to cover yourself. And Allah highlights for us, yuari sawatikum, that the main function of your clothing is to completely cover your body in the best possible sense. And when we look at the sunnah method of dressing for both male and female, then what comes out first and foremost is the message of modesty and the outlook of modesty that needs to be prevalent in the life of every Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-haya wa shu'batun min al-iman. Modesty is a branch of faith. So modesty in dressing is the main feature of the Islamic dress code, as opposed to other dress codes that we find prevalent in the world. And also the aspect of humility and humbleness is also found in the Islamic dress code. And we may also add on to that, in no way does this hinder a person from beautifying themselves, because there's beauty as well, because Allah says that the function of your clothing needs to be first and foremost that it covers your body appropriately. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, warisha, it also needs to be a form, it can be a form of beautification, to beautify ourselves and to look our best.
JazakAllah, Malana. I think Malana has highlighted a very interesting point when Malana said that, you know, the dressing that we have and the clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as other favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Malana, just to get your perspective, is the appearance, you know, the appearance of a person, could that be regarded as a sign of what is actually in a person's heart?
I think this is a very important question. Often, I'm sure many of us have heard the statement at some point or the other that you can't judge a book by its cover, and it's not about what is my outward appearance, what's in my heart is most important. We often hear that excuse or that statement being thrown about, quite common nowadays. When it comes to our appearance, definitely there is, to a certain extent, a great sign in what we wear as opposed to what is in our hearts. Yes, it is not across the board, because we cannot judge any book by its cover. That's an absolute fact, and nobody has any issue with that. But more often than not, what is contained within our hearts and within our frames of mind manifests itself outwardly on our outward appearance. That is an absolute fact. So we can't judge a book by its cover, but what is contained in the book also does have an effect on the cover as well. So we have to address this issue in a more realistic manner, and we can't beat about the bush when it comes to that. Unfortunately, sometimes because people have an outward appearance of that which is termed as piety, perhaps because of their conduct or other weaknesses that they have and which we all have as human beings. So people look at the weakness that is found within the individual, and now they find in fault with the outward appearance of that person. Oh, all these people dressed in that manner, this is how they behave. And what's the point of dressing in that manner? They need to walk their talk, etc. These are unfortunately the challenges that we face. But in no way does that give anybody a license to shun the importance of the outward appearance because of perhaps the behavior or the actions of a few individuals. Definitely when there's taqwa found in the heart of a person, when there's modesty and humility found within the heart of a believer, then outwardly that manifests itself in a very important way, because how we dress as Muslims is extremely important. As we mentioned when we started off the program, the effect that dressing has on our frame of mind and our mindset as individuals. So the outward appearance definitely does give an indication to what is contained in the heart of that individual, not entirely, but to a certain extent, because there are those individuals out there that perhaps might not have the best of outward appearances, but do have fantastic personalities, have beautiful souls, and maybe they're closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually than we could ever be. But that is not something that can be taken across the board, and that can never be a license for everybody to doing the same thing, because we got to go back to the ideal. The ideal is that the outward appearance does give an indication to a certain extent of what is in the heart of mind of that individual. So to put it into context, that person whose outward appearance is that of a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a modest believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that gives us an indication to what is in the heart of that person, that this is a believer that's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who adheres to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, we repeat, it does not mean that a person who does not have that appearance is a person who's a write-off and a person who's devoid of all good spiritually. That person definitely can have maybe a greater level of goodness, but what's on the outside, as human beings, we're all accustomed to what we see. What is outward, that is what we can see. The batin, that is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has highlighted this so beautifully in the Quran when he said, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah knows best as to who's righteous and who's not righteous, who's genuine and who's fake. That is entirely only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us as human beings, we go by that which is apparent before our eyes.
Gee, indeed. Malana, now when it comes to dressing, another very important point is, you know, when a person wears clothes, and as Malana has highlighted, that in Quran is even mentioned, the word that is used in the Quran Kareem, Murisha, person dresses and the person tries and beautifies themselves with the clothes that they wear. Now a person is very often confused between two things. One is, you know, how does a person now differentiate between showing off with one's dressing because of the type of clothes that a person is wearing, and on the other hand, the person wants to probably exhibit and you know, display, show the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon a specific person. How do we differentiate between these two?
This is also a very important point, and actually it's quite simple for us to unpack. When we wear our clothing, be it the best of clothing, be it expensive clothing, and also when we speaking about expensive clothing, obviously a person should not be in a situation where they incur in unnecessary debt, etc., just to wear a certain brand or to wear a certain type of clothing. But if a person is wearing the best of clothing, and even though it might be expensive clothing as well, ask yourself one question. Why do we wear what we wear? What is our intention? That is most important. If your intention is to beautify yourself as a Muslim and to look beautiful for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's most important, then there's no issue with that. In fact, leave alone no issue with that, the person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put a similar scenario forward and said, رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنٌ وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, what is the situation of an individual that loves to wear the best of clothes, the best of shoes, to adorn themselves in the best manner? Is this pride? Is this ostentation? What is the position of this individual? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully replied and said, Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beauty. So for a person to exhibit the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has favored upon the individual in terms of their dressing, that is something that Islam does not have any problem with. In fact, that is something that is also encouraged. Allah says, "Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith." As for the bounties of your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's something that you also need to express. But most important is the intention. And unfortunately, that is where we sometimes fail, because perhaps we're wearing clothing just to keep up with a certain trend, and we're wearing the best of clothing because that's the in thing now, so I need to wear this brand because everybody is wearing this brand right now, and I need to fit in with this segment of society, and I need to roll with these individuals, so because they're wearing that type of clothing, I also need to fit in and I need to match up. Then we've lost the plot, and now we're bordering onto dangerous levels when it comes to pride, when it comes to ostentation, and we've lost the plot if we find ourselves in that situation. But if the underlying intention is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for you to dress the best because Allah, inna Allah kataba al-ihsan ala kulli shay, Allah has ordained perfection in everything, for you to dress the best as a Muslim, to be presentable at all times, mashallah, that is something that is wonderful. In fact, now that we're in the season of Hajj as well, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah has dawned upon us, and we're in the sacred month, so we know from the first of Dhul-Hijjah, those 10 days, it is preferable for Muslims to liken themselves and to imitate the Hujjaj in terms of them not removing their facial hair, clipping nails, etc. Now, if we just look at, firstly, the state of ihram for those Hujjaj who have embarked on the journey, and when we go for Umrah as well, what are the rules of that ihram? For you to be in a certain manner, and for you to perhaps intentionally make yourself disheveled and not keep yourself kept. That is the crux of the state of ihram and those 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So if you ask to do that in a certain time, that gives you a subtle message that at any other given time, a Muslim is supposed to be well-groomed and well-kept and supposed to be presentable at all times. So that is the beauty and comprehensiveness of Islam. So this issue of wearing the best of clothing, it all depends most importantly on our intention. And I think we need to touch on an important point while we're discussing this, and this is more for our mothers and sisters, but unfortunately even men as well, we've succumbed to this sort of trend. The world that we're living in right now, in the practical sense, in a hurry, no mother or sister would wear the same garb for two functions in a row. Have they ever questioned themselves, why? What everybody's going to say? They saw me all wearing the same outfit for the last function. Now everybody's going to see me wearing the same thing. They'll think I got no money. They'll think something wrong with me. They're going to fault me. Now again, Islam says wear the best. But does Islam say that you need to wear something new all the time and it has to be different all the time? What is your intention? Your intention is supposed to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're wearing the best for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the blessed day of Jumu'ah, we ask to wear our best. Take the day of Eid, we ask to wear our best. That is encouraged. That is how we're supposed to present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we worry more about what is the perception of the people around us. We're wearing clothes not for ourselves, not for our Creator, but for everybody else around us, so everybody can comment, wow. Unfortunately, we've succumbed so badly to this weakness of worrying about what everybody is doing and how everybody else is looking. I mean, look at the state of our nikahs and weddings in the time that we're living in. People go there, nobody's interested in the food, nobody's interested in the decor. Everybody's only concentrating on what everybody else is wearing, how that one's outfit fitted that one, and what colors suited that one, and whose designer made a disaster of that one's dress. It's all unnecessary, unfortunate weaknesses that we've succumbed to. But as Muslims, we're supposed to rise above all of this and be more focused and be more sincere in that which we do. And whatever we need to do, whatever we do, we need to do it first and foremost, only and solely, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we're also speaking about the aspect of dressing and looking our best, I think this is more for all our married couples, mashallah, husbands and wives out there. You need to wear your best also to please your wife, mashallah. That's also pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the wife to don her best and beautify herself solely to please her husband is actually a very great way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
JazakAllah for the very beautiful explanation, and as Mulana summed it up, I think very, very important is the intention with which we wear the clothes that we wear. The intention that we have behind it is obviously very, very important. When we look at fashion, and you know, the fashion statements that people try and create nowadays, be it a male, be it a female, when we're following fashion, then many times it doesn't matter how that fashion actually looks. There are sometimes certain people that will themselves, say that on my own dressing like this particular hairstyle, this particular fashion, etc., I myself wouldn't dress like this. But the only reason why I'm wearing it or why I have it on is because it is the fashion nowadays and everybody else is doing it. Well, no, how should the intrinsic quality of modesty, which is extremely important when it comes to dressing, how should this quality impact on how a person clothes himself or a female clothes herself for that matter?
MashaAllah, this is also important, and I think to a certain extent we've touched on it a little earlier when we spoke about the salient features of the Islamic dress code. As we mentioned, the salient features of the Islamic dress code, one of them being that of modesty. So the intrinsic quality of modesty, how does that impact on the way a person clads himself? Let's understand what is modesty first and foremost. Modesty is a person's consciousness of the gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly upon that individual. That is one of the definitions of modesty, that why are you shy? It denotes shyness. The meaning of modesty means for you to be shy. Why will you be shy? You're shy of the gaze of somebody else being upon you, and we shy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gaze is upon us at all times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us. So when a person has the quality of modesty within their hearts and within their minds, this definitely impacts on how a person clads himself or herself, because Allah is looking, Allah is watching. And if I'm a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm bound by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my object of life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would never don any sort of garb or clothing that would ever incur the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way whatsoever, because of the simple fact that I have this concept of modesty within my heart and within my mind. And unfortunately, it is because of the lack of this important quality of iman, which we constantly need to work on and nurture within ourselves as believers, and remind ourselves constantly of this quality of modesty, how important it is in the life of a Muslim. The more we remind ourselves of this quality, inshallah, the more the concept of haya and modesty will become manifest outwardly in our lives. Today it is because of the weakness of modesty within our lives and within the societies that we're living in that we find, unfortunately, this major issue when it comes to the dressing of the ummah at large. Unfortunately, we're living in very, very trying times. We have so many challenges to deal with. We have so many fitnas that are bombarding us from every nook and corner. But one very important place that we seem to be failing at a very rapid rate, and obviously it's not all dull and gloom. We do have, mashallah, those individuals that are trying their level best to swim against the tide of the fashion industry and to swim against the tide of immorality that has enveloped and encompassed the ummah. MashaAllah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them steadfast. And there's always hope. We look forward towards a bright and prosperous future. But right now where we are, we're not in the best of places. And right now it does look bleak and it does look dull and it does look very gloomy out there. But the more we remind ourselves of where we're supposed to be as Muslims and how we're supposed to interact and how we're supposed to behave as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we will get there someday and we will start taking steps forward. But the quality of modesty is something which is very, very important, and it has a huge impact, not a small impact, it has a huge impact on how a person clads themselves or herself just on the basis of the quality of modesty. The more the modesty in the life of an individual, the more the level of modesty in the heart of an individual, obviously that will make a bigger difference as that person goes along in the manner, not only in the manner in which they clad themselves, but I think it's also important that we add on the manner in which we conduct ourselves as well. Because modesty is not something which is only confined to certain things. Modesty is so beautiful. It's one of the most comprehensive qualities that a believer could ever possess. Because when we speak about modesty, it's not confined just to the way we dress, but rather modesty is so broad, it comprises of the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we conduct ourselves. It comprises of our entire being as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more the modesty, the more the goodness everywhere. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described haya as being all of good. Al-haya khayrun kulla. Haya is all of goodness. Any bit of goodness you want to find, you'll find it in modesty. And the absence of haya brings everything that is the opposite of good. So when modesty decreases within ourselves, remember, good is decreasing all round. When modesty increases within ourselves, it means goodness is increasing in every aspect of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.
I mean, jazakallah for that, Mawlana. Now, having discussed general aspects with regards to dressing, we will now try and diversify, just break up the discussion a little. So we'll try and focus a little bit on with regards to females dressing, and then a little bit later on the program, probably most probably in the next hour, we'll try and look at some aspects with regards to males dressing. Commencing with the topic of females dressing, Mawlana, one of the very important things, we find that in today's time, Western cultures, it openly promotes women to expose the different parts, various parts of their bodies. Now, sadly, are we finding this type of trend? Does it seem to be setting in among Muslim females as well?
Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, we're facing many challenges as an ummah collectively. We're facing on so many fronts different challenges. And one of the greatest challenges that we are also facing right now, and I think it's something that we take very lightly, but it is something which is rather serious and we also need to focus on. When it comes to these issues of dressing, it just takes me back some years ago, Mara, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put the thought in my mind to discuss the aspect of dressing on the Jummah platform and to prepare it as a Jummah topic. So in my introduction to that topic, the way I would start off the topic when speaking to the congregation, I would say that, brothers, this is what we're discussing today. We're discussing the aspect of dressing. Now, some of you might be seated here and thinking to yourselves, this is, by the way, Mawlana, just on a lighter note, I'm not going into the whole Jummah by itself, just to keep it as the introduction. But the way I would introduce the topic is, 9 out of 10 times, when a topic of this is introduced and is spoken about, then people might come up with the counter-argument that, we've got so many more important things to worry about. I mean, the ummah is suffering in so many parts of the world. I mean, we have a famine here. We have a war-torn country there. I mean, let's talk about important things. Now you want to talk about dressing. But sometimes I think we also tend to get ahead of ourselves. We need to understand, if our mind perceives something as being small, it doesn't mean it's something that's small before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is all about, everything is important. There's nothing that we can quantify as being small and being big. Because every small issue is a big issue, and every big issue is a big issue. So we need to look at everything holistically. Don't confine things, because the moment you start making things small, which are actually big in terms of the deen, then you tend to overlook something that's now very important in your deen as well, and you tend to belittle the importance of that. So when it comes to dressing, and when it comes to, unfortunately, the trends that are set in the societies that we're living in, this is a major challenge. I mean, we're living in a time, let's reflect over where we've come from. If we look at 20 or 30 years ago, we had such wonderful types of environments prevalent in our home that a young girl of the age of 15 or 16 would have been shy 20 or 30 years ago to walk in front of their grandparents without the headscarf in the confines of their own home. And mashallah, may Allah shower the choicest of His blessings over our elders of the past. They were such great individuals. They might not have had the resources that we have at our disposal. They might possessed the knowledge that we have today, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with such a wonderful level of iman and such a high level of modesty that 30 years ago a young girl would have been shy to walk in front of her grandparents without her hair being covered. And if by chance that did happen, nothing stopped any elder of the past from immediately rectifying the situation and saying, oh my young girl, why is your hair uncovered? That was where we came from. But look at how much we've regressed. That 30 years ago, a girl would have felt shy to walk without a scarf in front of her grandparents. Today, when we look at the dressing that has become part of society and that has become the acceptable norm, unfortunately, even in homes of what we would say homes of deen and homes of people of taqwa, today they walk with such types of clothing that is unfortunately lamentable. It's something to cry about. But what's worse is nobody has a problem with it and nobody has an issue with it. So these type of trends that have now come into the ummah from the Western cultures that really exploit women, as you correctly mentioned in your introduction as well, Maulana, that the object of the Western world is to strip women of their modesty, strip them of their morality, strip them of their respect. Unfortunately, the Muslims of the Ummah, to a great extent, we succumbing to these trends and to these the fashion houses of the world, and we becoming the slaves of these cultures and these societies. Whereas we also need to understand, among the many ploys of shaitan to take people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the Quran. Allah says one of the ploys of shaitan, يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوَاتِهِمَا. When shaitan tricked Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, what was the object? One of the objects of shaitan when insan was created was to strip insan of their clothing, to bring them to a state of immodesty. It started from them, the war started from them, and it's to continue till the day of Qiyamah. Shaitan is aduwwu mubin, our open enemy, and he will try every trick in the book to strip us of our iman, to strip us of our modesty, and to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes he might not come in the sense of making us openly disobey Allah in certain ways, so we think we've been safe from that. But then he comes in these subtle ways of the way we dress and the way we expose ourselves to society, and we think it's something small, but actually in terms of from where Shaitan is coming from, he is winning all the way. He knows he's robbing us of our modesty. When he's going to rob us of our modesty, it's going to weaken our iman. When our iman is weakened, we're going to move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's found this niche to attack the ummah in terms of of immorality and immodesty, and unfortunately the really bad trends that have come about in the way women are dressing and the way women are exposing themselves. I mean, from wearing short sleeve to now being sleeveless, from a tight form of a lower garment to almost tights and to skin tight and etc. I mean, that's unfortunately the what is prevalent in society now, to sleeveless, to backless, to whatever it is. These have become acceptable trends in the Muslim Ummah. It's not something that was never there in the world. It might have been there, but it was so far away from us. But now, especially, well, what about, let's not forget social media, what a tool that has become to rob us of immodesty and immorality. So the more we're looking at how the world is dressing, the more we're looking at how the fashion divas are dressing, the more we're looking at how the stars are dressing, we're looking at that constantly, constantly, constantly. We now start drawing closer to that, then we want to look like that, then we want to dress like that, and not only do we want to dress like that, then we want to take a picture of it, and then we want to show the world, whole world, mashallah, how beautiful we're looking. What's even sadder is when the picture is uploaded, people are saying, mashallah, she's looking so nice. I wonder sometimes which Allah we're referring to when we say, mashallah, see how beautiful that person is looking. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
I mean, Mulana, just before we conclude, we're going to break. In 2-3 minutes, we're going to have to break for the news. But just to conclude the discussion thus far, what has the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to say with regards to the dressing of the woman? As Mulana had highlighted, unfortunately, today is becoming the norm of women to wear very thin clothing. You know, it reveals the different parts and shapes of the body. What does the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to say with regards to this?
When it comes to the words of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's a very stern warning that comes across from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this important aspect. As I said earlier, we might consider this as something small, but this is something which is major, and this is something which is huge when it comes to Islam and how Islam views this aspect of dressing, especially with regards to our mothers and sisters. Not that men are given the way to dress how they want, when they want as well. As you mentioned earlier, inshallah, later on in the program, we're going to touch on that important aspect as well. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one particular hadith, described certain women of the ummah that would be in such a situation on the day of Qiyamah that they will be very, very far away from Jannah, to such an extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these women will not even get the fragrance of Jannah. Now, if we study the beauty of Jannah and the descriptions that have been given Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among the descriptions is that Jannah is such an amazing, beautiful place. The fragrance of it, not viewing it with your eye, but just the fragrance of it is something that can be found a great distance away from Jannah. So you'll be very, very far away from it, but you'll get the fragrance of it. That's how beautiful it is. That's how beautiful it is, and that's how amazing it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the inhabitants of Jannah. But something beautiful, the fragrance of which can be found a great, great distance away from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there will be certain women that will be deprived of even the fragrance of Jannah, let alone entering the Jannah. They won't even get to smell it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a few descriptions of these women. And one of the descriptions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was Ariyatin Kasiyatin, that there will be women that will come in the Ummah who will be clothed, yet they will be naked. Understand what the Prophet ﷺ said. He never said they won't be wearing no clothing at all. The words used that they will be clothed, yet they will be counted as being naked. And the ulama explained that how is this possible for a person to be clothed at the same time naked? It either can be via the type of clothing that person wearing as being see-through, where they have clothes and you can see through that type of clothing. So they clothed, yet they counted as naked. Or the clothing is so tight upon the body of that person that even though they are clothed, the entire shape of the body is revealed, hence they counted as being naked. And I think that's something very important for us to highlight and for us to understand, because, you know, it's amazing the way Shaitan has tricked the Ummah, the way Shaitan has confused us, that there's actually different levels of taqwa, we can say that, different levels of taqwa in the way women dress. So a woman in today's times would perhaps think to herself that I'm clothed, but even though it's skin tight, my body is covered. So the woman who's wearing clothing that is skin tight, but it's covering her body, she might view another woman that's wearing sleeveless and say, look at that woman, man, she's wearing sleeveless. That's how Shaitan has tricked us, like different levels of taqwa. Yet the hadith is clear. If the clothing is skin tight and a person is bare, we're not saying that a person should be bare. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. As I said, it's different levels of taqwa. We're not asking the one who's clothed in a way in skin tight now to regress further and take out that which they're wearing entirely. No, no. But understand one thing. The ruling ends up the same. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described these women, that they will be clothed, yet unfortunately they will be counted as being naked. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save and protect all our mothers and sisters and instill and imbue within their hearts and minds the beauty of modesty, the beauty of Islam, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the object in all our lives, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, JazakAllah for that explanation, Mulana. We will continue the discussion looking at the dressing of women, inshallah. We just get the news done and then we will be back, inshallah.
Inshallah.
For the listeners, stay tuned. It's just a few seconds before 11 o'clock. We do the news, and after that we will continue this very important and interesting discussion.